Good afternoon, sir.
Yes, good morning. Good afternoon. It isn't an afternoon yet. It's 11:46.
Oh, sorry, man. Good morning, man. Mm-hmm. And Happy New Year to you. This is the first time I'm talking to you for the year. However, I heard you were speaking to a gentleman who told you that he is a BLP. And as a result of that, you started and asked some questions, like, if you believe that the Barbados Labour Party come to power, if they would, what would they do to make the situation better? What I really would like to ask you, sir, I don't know if you can answer me, but you believe if they retain this party as the government next time, you feel it would make it better?
Well, I'm here to ask you. Not for
me
to ask me.
I know you're here to ask me, but that's why you're going to put that question.
Because I'm coming back at you with it. You are the person to tell me what you think.
But I can tell you what you think when you've done, but I would let you to answer my question.
No, I ain't answering the question. I have my own views. I have my own views on it, but I don't think that I should prejudice yours by telling you.
Yeah. But that's exactly what it did to the gentleman.
Anyway, what it did to the... I prejudice his views?
All right. Let me give some facts now.
I thought I asked a question.
Okay. But ask me that same question.
You know what the question is, so answer it.
I can answer some of it. You understand?
Yes.
So this is what I believe, right? That should happen to help restore this country. And I heard you would have said earlier that we're in a worse situation now than in 1991. I don't even think so.
I don't know. Well, yes, over in the totality of the situation, being the foreign reserves are still higher now than they were in 1991.
Exactly.
But then there's the fiscal situation, that situation there with the fiscal deficit and stuff that we've been battling with. The debt situation is far higher now than it was then.
I agree.
It's not all on all fours, you know?
Right. I agree. But I can show you now what I think should happen with some of the things that are actually happening in Barbados, right? I believe that more people should be employed.
But how?
All right. Okay. When you employ people, you're going to get more national insurance. This is a fact.
But you're going to find the jobs first. And in what areas?
But you just tell more people that they're in jobs.
Yes.
From the government service, and those people were in jobs.
Yes, and that. So are you saying, therefore, that you are highly supportive of the government's position, that even though many people are saying to them that the amount of revenue we are getting cannot support the expenditure and that they have to send home some people, they stubbornly say to you, but if I send home people, it means that you're going to create social chaos, and I can't. So essentially, that if they hold on to the jobs in the way that they're doing right now, they can defy the logic, and at the end of the day, we will be able to sustain a situation where expenditure outstrips the revenue, and you know, life will be comfortable. Because that's basically what's happening. It's like you running your house.
But it still ain't happening. And if you look at every single budget by the present Minister of Finance, every single one has failed since he took that job. Man. Every single one failed. And if you could call one that is...
The government supporters say that they get growth last year. 1% growth.
When foreign reserves in such a bad state, when your foreign reserves in such a bad state and your deficit, man, you ain't got no growth. None. However, let me go on what he was trying to tell you, right? I believe rather than paying out national insurance for unemployment, people would be paying. I believe...
Before you go on, hold on a minute. Just hold on a minute. I want Dennis to see if he can find a demo on that phone there for me. You got one? Put it in there for me, please.
Put it in, man.
Yeah, well, I need some balance here. My goodness, a drowning.
You want help?
Yes, I need help. I ain't want. Put me in a position to have to defend nobody. Please let all people right. defend themselves.
No. Yeah. I gain on.
Go ahead. Right. I want to hear you.
No, I talked to you about national employment. Where you will get more national insurance rather than paying out unemployment. Good. I believe that if this government had actually spent more time or dealt with the redevelopment program of the city, they would have made some money. That fell short. Right? The restructuring of statutory boards in this country. The Mr. Trotman spoke about that. All those people who never submitted financial reports and all kind of things. It's a lacking in good governance of the country. These are areas clearly that would have assisted the progress of Barbados. You have a situation that you got too much ministers and too much ministries. I would get rid of Todd Sekou.
At this hour?
But tell me why all of them, you got all of them ministers that were not elected. Why you got all of them? Paying money to them. That's money that is lost. This government got more ministries than any other.
All right.
You know that for me.
I want you to, you're going to go to the regional roundup. I want you to stay on the line. I have somebody else with you to come in after we've heard this regional roundup, and we'll continue the discussion on this edition of Down to Brass. Okay, Down to Brass. That's had two people on the line just before we went to the news. Are you there, gentlemen?
I am here. I don't know. I don't know who we had.
Okay.
But I'm here.
And caller number two, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
It's a man and a woman then. Okay.
Thank you.
Fine. The second person, the lady who called, what prompted you to call, ma'am?
Yes, I'm calling about, I'm not accustomed to calling, but I love to listen.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to hear the predictables. The standpoint economists and the ones that their conscience are seared like a hot iron. Mr. Ellis, mm-hmm. Do you know the future?
No, but you don't know it, but you could be concerned about it.
I don't, but I know who holds it.
Who holds the future?
God holds the future.
Yeah.
No man on earth knows what the future is. There's nothing new under the heavens. So when you hear these people calling and talking of these things, I would like to put their head in gear before they start.
Like what? Things like what?
He thinks that is unnecessary, Mr. Thing.
Like what?
Mr. Ellis.
Like what?
Like, they could do this and they could do that, and this government is this and the government is that. There's nothing in you want to do if there's a circle.
Okay, let's get some...
Things that happen.
Let's get to some specifics. Let's get to some specifics. The people are concerned about the South Coast Sewage Project. A man put some licks in the Prime Minister earlier about how long it has taken. You see, the Prime Minister should get up and do something. He, in his judgment, he has done nothing and he must take the responsibility. That's one. How do you respond to that? There's nothing new under the sun.
Because he's the leader.
Right.
What can be done about it?
Nothing. In your judgment.
In my judgment, we don't know what the future holds. And anything can happen.
Right, but we know what's happening now. The South Coast Sewage Project is on now. The project is on, the difficulties are on now with the project.
I'm trying the level best to find out what is the problem.
Right. And you don't think that they've taken too long?
But no.
All right. The state of the economy, the foreign reserves continue to drop. What do you think about that? The people are critical of the government in that regard. So they followed the wrong policies. They've created a crisis.
But they don't seem to understand Those teams don't understand what they can do. Just the potholes are so big, and just the rain don't fall.
It's the rain that causes the potholes.
Well, we must remember, Mr. Ellis, that all of these roads that have built and is digging up, all of that was plantation things. The housing areas, the ones that are in the terraces and the house. All plantation that houses is built on. They're trying to make the roads, but all on the day is dirt. They put up, put the rocks and thing on the foundation that they never made the foundation to get the work. They do it so ad hoc, you know. But now somebody they're blaming the prime minister. What can the prime minister do? Prime minister can't stop the moisture. The ocean from the ocean. We don't know the future. We don't know what will happen.
Okay, well, just let me get a response from the gentleman. You heard her?
I heard the lady, but there's nothing I could respond to in that regard, Mr.
Fair enough.
Nothing absolute. That sounds like mere stupidness.
Fair enough.
Well, I want to say that. Can I continue on my position?
Yes, please.
I was speaking to you about the that situation that dealt with the restoring of places like Castle and Country Road and Carina Village and St. Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
The IADB program, this government lost over $60 million U.S. in that regard because they failed to adhere to the terms and conditions of the grant of the IADB. That's one of the other things that affect in this country. You have a situation, Mr. Ellis, that the Minister of Finance increased VAT $22 billion in taxes, and nothing has been done in this country to show where it gone. Yet still the foreign reserves dropping. They remove give up the control of the banks, interest rate of the bank. Let them set it themselves. They know it looked like before the end of this year you can go out pay the bank for saving your money. The government lost the withholding tax that they used to get. It got to be less. That's a portion of every person who pays interest. A percentage of that is taken by government or paid over to government. How much they going to get in that regard? It's being reduced. I spoke to you about the reduction, reducing the ministries. And doubling some. Housing could go with labor. Certainly, the Prime Minister can take another portfolio and reduce the ministries. You got a situation with the Auditor General who dealt with all the things that this government is responsible for. Selling the houses that done built or renting them out. All of them, a horse inside in Parish Land. Close up and other parts of this country. Money spent, but still there probably the last 3-4 years and not a cent has been made. The incentives that given to Sanders, incentives to cost you less. And you got a man that just built a supermarket, a large supermarket there in Christchurch, popular, ain't get none. Other hotels extending, no incentives. One cannot safely say that this government is doing the right things in order to control the situation that is existing in Barbados.
What I find fascinating about it, though, is that they can take some blows, though. They get so much criticism, and they just sit down and they take it. They don't defend themselves properly. I'm amazed at how they see the PR aspect of how they're going to defend government policy and stuff. You debate until elections to do that. You deal, from where I sit, that's something you deal with at elections, true. But you also have to take some of those things along the way, because you can't handle everything at elections. And what happens is that people develop an attitude of saying, look, you know what? After a while, you've heard so many negatives, you don't even want to hear anything else again. You don't want to hear the negatives. You don't want to hear the pros nor the cons. You just make up your mind and you say, listen, I don't care what you come and tell me now. I'm not interested. So their PR process, even sitting down here listening to the program and listen to callers today, because I know what they want. You get cussed now because you, the moderator, don't sit down here and defend them, you know. But that, a lot of them get paid. The taxpayers of this country have been paying them all these years. And the Democratic Labour Party is their party, ain't mine? They have a responsibility to come and defend their party. So I have it here open for you. Whoever you are, listen, if you can't get through on the line, call my cell phone or call the receptionist. But it's time to defend yourselves on these issues. Don't wait until the election campaign.
You have a situation, Mr. Ellis, that income tax returns has not been paid since.
I got Raul. You've had so much to say. Let me put Raul in, because I don't know. You know he's relentless and remarkable.
I know he hear my voice. That's why he can come, right?
Yeah. Yes, Raul.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
You got people with a higher pay grade than you who have not chipped in here to assist the Democratic Labour Party, but you brave. Mm-hmm.
Who come and tell you that Raul on the line? Anyhow, be as it may, I'm here. Let me hear you. I'm bowl up your all ball. Hey, you know I'm on record of saying let the bees set the pace.
But you haven't listened to the program. But you want me now to summarize all of that?
No. They're setting the pace. But the question that I would ask.
One of the calls is creating a lot of noise.
Emanating from the barbells, they're going to do.
Sounds as though the other call.
The question I want to answer is this. Pray tell me where you're going to get this money from. And if you're so certain you're going to get this money, then it says that the country has an obligation then to repay this kind of money. So it's going to look impressive to see you're doing this and doing this.
Which money?
But the question has to be answered at what cost?
Which money? Which money? Which money?
No, they're saying they're going to get this jump start. They're going to do this. The myriad of things they say they're going to do, it costs. It's going to take money. All I'm asking.
Who said that?
The opposition plank is that they're going to do and undo this. They're gonna scrap this. They're gonna stop the return tuition fee. You have heard it all over time. All I'm saying, they're advocating strongly to be the savior to the country. They're gonna do all of these things. All I am asking simply is at what cost? Because if you can get all these things done, it says logically there has to be a cost.
But that's
and he's going to land the country in
that's one side of it. But the other side of it is that better cannot be done. This is the best that Barbados can do right now. That's what you were saying.
Miss Ellis, look, you see all of this? This thing needs to be debunked, and you're so right. Let me help you with the PR of the DLP and the government. It leaves a lot to be desired. You're right in saying this, and I will say this openly. If the PR was on stream properly, a lot of this thing would have been early debunked, but it still can be debunked. I am satisfied that the propaganda and the structuring that they talk to this body and they say they talk to these, where they don't say they talk to Raul, and Raul is disenchanted. They talk to everybody that say that they're done with the D's. They didn't satisfy with this. A lot of propaganda is established. But let me say to you see, this election is going to be fought on the, look, since 2008, stability is going to be fought on stability, you know.
What is stability? When you say that the place is stable, what do you mean?
Listen, stability.
Define stability in the context of Barbados.
I'm defining, but just give me some time. You ask me to respond, and now you're going to work with you. You're going to work with me.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't going to work against one another. So I'm saying to you, since 2008, it was advocated that this government, and you heard me on this more than once, and it started, you said this, and I keep coining this statement from you. Since 2008, this government was supposed to have collapsed. and I wasn't going to think. The government to date has shown the resilience and the fact of life. And
hold on a minute.
Camps over
hold,
here.
On, hold on, hold on.
One thing.
Hold on a minute.
Certainly.
But that's not country stability. That's DLP stability. The fact that the government has remained in office has nothing to do with the country at large. That's not stability for Barbados. That's stability for the Democratic Labour Party administration.
The Democratic Labour Party is the party that's in office running the government. What are you trying to imply?
But because the Democratic Labour Party government falls, it doesn't make Barbados unstable?
No, when I talk about stability, I'm not talking about unstable in respect of what the opposition is saying. I'm talking about the stability of holding things together amid all the criticism and against all the odds. That is the stability
but you're
I'm
holding,
talking about.
Yes, talking but you're saying, well, you are hailing the fact that you held the Democratic Labour Party administration together.
The government.
Administration, right.
Yeah.
So that's the way that you... No, your stability is very narrow. I thought you were saying that it was country stability.
I am saying to you again. Let me, because I don't want nobody to mess up.
I heard you. Right, and I think everybody understands what you're saying.
Right, good. So let's move on. Let him set the pace. Let me tell you something. I just come from a funeral. You know, I've been inundated, everybody wrong. I have to be saying this. What? They're saying they're going to call the call.
What happened? Hold on. Tell me what happened at the funeral.
No, they were saying, well, time is short and... You know they're saying that the government will lose.
No. You went to a funeral this morning.
In the district here, yeah.
And the people in your district?
In the district here in Orange Hill. Yeah.
In Orange Hill. But in Orange Hill, don't they normally say that the government, the DLP, will lose? Or are you hearing more people in Orange Hill say that this time around?
I'm not going to put any words in my mouth, Mr.
And I just need to get a sense of what happened at your funeral.
I understand that, but I know your cunningness and wittiness and subtlety too.
You know what you are. You know what you are implying. You are implying that you are hearing, and this isn't the first time you've told me this. You did the last time we talked, and you mentioned something like this. Mm-hmm. You didn't go to a funeral, and it wasn't in Orange Hill that you were talking about. You were saying generally
with some friends, right?
Right.
Now. Right. Yeah.
And you, this is wherever you are going.
Yes.
You are picking up the same comment from people.
That what?
That the government under pressure.
But Ms. Ellis, be fair in your analysis. Whenever I listen to the calling program on Tuesdays, particularly on Thursdays, I can hear and generally that you are hearing this.
Hold on. I understand what we hear, on the call-in programs, but I'm listening to you, Raul, as a Democratic Labour Party supporter, going out there into this community, finding yourself. This is how you come across. You come across as somebody who is a well-known DLP supporter.
Everybody knows Raul, yeah.
Right.
Go on.
Who you find yourself under increasing pressure.
No,
because
I never said that to you. That is Mr. Ellis' analysis.
Hold on. That's my interpretation.
I never said that to you,
sir. My interpretation. So I'm giving you the opportunity.
You've got a wrong
hold on a minute now. Give me a break. I'm going to give you the opportunity to respond.
Okay.
So from what you've said, it appears as though you are under increasing pressure from people who are telling you that the party that you support is in trouble. And you have to be defending yourself, defending the party a lot.
Listen, when there's a general election, you're going to have the pros and cons.
Am I correct, though?
No.
What is the truth? What is the truth? Is it the other way around, that you are getting an increasing number of people telling you that the Democratic Labour Party will win the next election?
But you're also hearing that?
No. Are you getting more people telling you that?
I haven't run any poll as to determine if it's more or less. I am saying there, both sides being heard when they...
Somebody else want to ask you another question, Ron.
I hear both sides.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the next caller.
Yes. Hi. Good afternoon.
Yes. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I would like to ask Ron a question.
Yeah.
Shoot it.
Right. Concerning the NIS, the NIS has a policy that NIS contributions for workers are to be paid by a specific time of actually the 15th of the month. Prior for the month that it is due. Now, the Minister of Labor recently on record are saying that the government has defaulted in paying NIS contributions for public servants for as much as 9 months to a whole year. I want to ask Raul, how does he respond to that where governance is concerned and complying with the law as it pertains to NIS contributions on workers' behalf?
You could answer that.
Notwithstanding the labor legislation.
You could answer that, Raul.
Let the gentleman finish, Mr. Ellis, you're crossing. You finished, sir?
Yeah, he wanted you to respond to that.
Yeah, I'm not a minister of government, sir.
Well, shut, man.
You have to ask the Honorable Dr. Esther Bicycle, who has done so much in her tenure.
No, I love that response. I thought, when he asked the question, I said to myself, surely this is above my boy's pay grade. Somebody else should be answering this question.
This,
I hear you, boy.
I'm talking to Raul. Anybody knows Raul Charles analysis. Raul ain't no fool. Come again, sir. He's gone.
Raul, you're bad.
Look, let me tell you something. Mr. Ellis, I'm satisfied. I just said down the road with emphasis, Mr. Straw hasn't really come to the fore as yet. Wait till Mr. Straw come to the fore. Barbados is going to hear him.
Yeah.
And he's going to...
You know, the truth of the matter is that, clear. You know...
He hasn't come to the fore
there
yet.
There are a lot of people who may hear. The question is, will they listen?
Wait, they shouldn't listen. That's something of substance. What, you wouldn't want to listen?
We will find out. We will find out.
You're a great guy, man.
Thanks for calling.
All the best, sir.
Down to brass tacks. Hello? Welcome to the program. Reminder that this program is going to 1 o'clock today, not the usual 2 o'clock, okay? Because we're bringing you athletics from the National Stadium. Hello. It's that time of the year. Somebody wanted me to ask Raul if he could, in all good conscience, say that we are better off than in 2008. Down to brass tacks. Quite a number of people on the line today. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
All right. Ms. Dallas?
Hi.
I know that it's coming out to the news. What I have to say might be a little more, so I'll hold on.
You serious? You better try to talk in the 5 minutes that you got.
Everything I tell you, so...
No. You better talk, because let me determine whether what you've got to say requires me taking you beyond the news.
I hear you, man. No. For a long time, we're talking about the economy, saving the economy, right?
Mm.
Really? Really? Because all of these brilliant people that we have in this country over the years, and we are saving it. Like I said yesterday to Dennis, it's slipping. You can wait till it slip. No. We talked with the Prime Minister. A gentleman there saying he has done nothing. I am in total disagreement with him. Because the Prime Minister has done a lot. He has implemented a style of doing a little. This seems like nothing. He entertains children's parties. He invites tourists to LR Court. He is the prime of all ministers. But yet he does a little relating to most of them who make bad decisions on projects. Now, let me talk about legacy. We had in Jamaica, Siaga. We had in Trinidad, Williams. Barbados, Barrow. Adams. St. Vincent, Gonzales. You know, all of them can help, they left a legacy. Huh? I wonder what legacy this Prime Minister can leave.
But you just articulated a number of areas in which you consider that he had done well. Elara Court, meeting the tourists and stuff like that. And as you suggested, he's been involved in some of the ministries from time to time. And so you said.
No, I said involved. I said he does little.
He does little.
That relates to his ministers.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to... You see, it's a good thing I didn't wait until after the news to talk to you. It was not necessary. We're going to go to the Starcom Network News and then come back to wrap up this edition of Down to Brass Tacks. It's going until 1 o'clock. Down to Brass Tacks, hello.
Mr. Ellis.
Yes, welcome.
Yeah, how are you doing, sir?
I'm not bad at all.
Mm-hmm. Now, Marcellus, I want to touch on a few points there very quickly. The first thing, this thing about the Prime Minister got to come and the Prime Minister got to come, we can't speak for him. But we are, I suppose, a highly literate and educated society. And when you read the newspapers, listen to the news and so on, I don't need the Prime Minister to come and tell you what's going on. I know what's going on. The other thing is this. I remember hearing Obama, who was considered to be the maximum leader, before his term was up. Obama went to a shooting somewhere, I can't remember, it was in Minnesota or something like that. And he said, this is the 16th time that I have had to stand here in front of you and speak about another gun crime. He said, and the embarrassing thing is, I can't do anything about it. I'm the president, I can't do anything about it. I have to depend on all law enforcement agencies. And what I'm saying to people in Barbados, the Prime Minister has a job. It does not involve driving the bus, doing potholes, or picking up garbage, and that just applies to all to his ministry. We have public servants who are paid. They're paid to do these things. And if they're reneging on their duties and the public don't point them out, they'll continue to hide behind the ministers. We have a situation there in the bus stand. Yeah, they saw all those people in there. Not one bus in sight. And the transport board making excuses. In my view, that was industrial action. And we're going to see a lot more of that because the unions have made some veiled threats, you know, but they didn't say exactly what they're going to do. But people forget. But the information is there. And I'm saying that they are prepared to make the public suffer because they want to embarrass the government. And if these people vex with the government, then they're going to work for somebody else. But I don't know.
May I ask you a question?
Yeah.
If you're running a government as a politician and you see that there are these weaknesses, what is your role?
If I'm running the government?
If you are a politician, you're the prime minister of a country, and you realize that there is failure because organs of the government are not doing what they are supposed to do, what is your job?
My job is to point out to the Public Service Commission, a politician cannot touch a public servant by way of discipline. All he can do is complain to the Public Service Commission who hires, who disciplines, and who fires.
Therefore, that is the only recourse that you have. You have no responsibility to say, look, this system is not working in the way that it ought to, and there is a need for us to review it at a minimum and see in what ways we can change it. That's not your job.
Mr. Ellis, we have had the situation of the Barbados Water Authority. We've had situations where they wanted to change it, the Barbados Water Authority, so that they could hire private contractors to do work in the evening between 4 and 11. The unions jumped in and said, no way. So don't forget that it's not just about the government telling this person they should do this or that. The unions also have a part to play.
You are misrepresenting the process. You are putting one process which says you impose upon people what you want to do, the change that you want. There is another process. There's another process, though. And that other process is to say there is a need for us to change. Let us dialogue. First of all, we have the social partnership, which should be used in that particular way. You see, what you are presenting to me is the typical doomsday behavior that I believe we are getting from people like you these days, which is we can do nothing. Our hands are tied. Absolutely nothing can be done. This is the best that Barbados could ever do. I don't accept that.
Let me ask you a question before I go any further. I don't want you to talk to me this time and then I off the air. We have a situation in the BR air. You remember that? You remember that the BR air was set up to cover all the payment centers in government, and the customs have refused. The customs have refused. As a matter of fact, the union leaders have told the customs officers, do not sign the transfer. They are supposed to sign the transfer to be transferred from under a central government to a statutory cooperation. And they refused. This September was 2 years. 2 years that the Minister of Finance was trying to get the union and the public service to settle that matter. They settled it yet? They haven't settled it yet, Mr.
Okay,
Mr.
let me suggest you will identify what you see as the areas of resistance.
Examples
of resistance.
Examples.
Barbadians are now going to be retiring at the age of 67. All right? This was one of the biggest decisions and toughest decisions made under the Owen Arthur administration. How was that achieved? That impacted on far more people than what you have identified.
Yet as big
a decision as it was, it was... That change was made. Tell me what was the to move the retirement age.
Okay, but that didn't affect anybody materially. It didn't affect anybody. It didn't affect.
But it is affecting people now. People are because you knew the full implications of it. There were people who were making their contributions all along, and all of a sudden for them, the goalpost was being shifted. But the point was that a big decision like that, you make believe. That in this country, big decisions cannot be made because there's always a stumbling block. Yes, every major decision that Barbados has had to make, we have seen people get up and say it shouldn't happen. From the building of the hospital, right through to anything, the road, everything that we do, okay, the highway. But at the end of the day, we have been able to get these things done because you have been involved in a process of listening to people, anticipating that there will be criticism, but always relying on that silent majority to make it happen.
Ms. Ellis, I'm going to concede one thing, though. On the Barbados Labour Party, when they decided to cut the transport board staff, you remember that? They sent home 600 people in transport board, the conductors.
You remember that? Yes, I remember that.
That was a
The union behaved bad. The union said all of them job losses, and they don't need no turnstiles and all sorts. But it happened.
Yes, and they also sent home 160 nurses from the 3H for not wanting to transfer to. Do you remember that?
The Queen Elizabeth Hospital and the whole issue of the board. Those are decisions that were made.
That's right. I'm telling you that I'm conceding to you. That on the Barbados Labour Party, they had no hesitation to send them home.
The Democratic Labour Party was out there kicking dust against it too. The Democratic Labour Party was in the vanguard of the people saying no to some of them changes.
But when the Democratic Labour Party sent home people the other day from NCC and from the betraying, but they got lashes for it too.
But Arthur, I'm saying to you that all that we have said here in this discussion undermines the argument that you first advanced to us, that the Prime Minister cannot do anything because every time you take a step, you get opposition. So the argument that you're presenting is, in those circumstances, do nothing.
No, it's not you don't do anything. You got a process. You have the process. I have always said this, and I'm going to say it again. Public servants who are heads of department and who are executive officers should not take those positions unless they are fully informed
Arthur,
of public
Arthur,
outreach.
That can... Arthur, let's realize something. Let's accept this. You are saying there are weaknesses within the structure or the way that the public service is doing its job. If you listen to comments which were made by the former governor of the central bank, Dr. Dalal Wuril, in a new newsletter that he's put out, he's essentially saying the same thing. However, we cannot rely upon the public sector itself to reform itself. We require political action to bring about that change. And therefore, that's where the Prime Minister and the Cabinet of Barbados and the Parliament of Barbados becomes important. If you realize that the way that the public service is operating is against the best interests of Barbados, you expect that the people who have the political clout will be the first ones to say, let us put this under the microscope and bring our heads together.
That is what we
have not had that, have we?
You remember what Mr. Barr said about public service?
About an army of occupation?
Exactly. Mr. Barr was...
So what that means?
Mr. Barr was enunciating a situation...
You know how many armies of occupation have been defeated elsewhere?
where people have not only in Barbados. When you are government dealing with the public service, you've got to be very careful.
Man, you guys are behaving. Look, you making a case for the government that, in my judgment, you shouldn't even set out to make. Because what you are essentially saying, that the government does not have what it takes to fix the problem.
Mr. Ellis, if your executive officer decides to fire you because you did something or he didn't like you,
we got to follow a process.
There's a process you have to go through.
He has to follow process. What is the process for bringing about change in the weaknesses of the public service that you have identified?
First of all, you have to change the public, the civil establishment's order. And that might involve the constitutional change.
No, so,
I don't think
going on the right path. First of all, look, when we have had scenarios where in the past we felt that we needed to look at our constitution. In my lifetime, we have had two reviews of our constitution.
Mm.
Our public service is vital to this country's further development. Mm. Therefore, if we are identifying weaknesses here, maybe the time has come for us to have a major review of the public service of Barbados, not only from the point of view of the numbers, but more importantly, from the point of view of the stumbling blocks, the issues, the things that are making it less efficient than it should be. We still have to talk about things like, are we going to continue with the process of having a permanent secretary entrenched in a job until that person retires? Or are we going to put permanent secretaries on contract? That's a good argument. I'm saying that's an idea that I've heard advance.
It's an excellent argument, but Mr. Ellis, remember that you have the unions here, and
you come back to that all the time.
Unions have
the unions are part of they are not part of the constituency that you have to involve in the discussion.
Mr. Ellis, we live in a democracy. If you agree to contractual agreements with the union, then you have to go through those agreements when you want. You want to fire a fellow because you need you. Let me give you an example. A couple of years ago, a certain government minister went down to the bus stand because you wanted to respond to the same situation where buses were there and people didn't stand up there and the bus didn't go anywhere. He took upon himself to go down there with an entourage from his ministry and made observations. And he recommended that three drivers be suspended. You know what happened? The next week, the union went on strike for 3 days. You don't remember that.
You know, the truth of the matter is, Arthur, the government got it easier than the private sector because they don't have to go through the hoops that the statutory corporations and stuff. There are a lot of people in private sector who have to deal with the very Employment Rights Act that the government recently passed, okay? They know that they have to go through process. The government has to go through process too, but more significantly, I'm just trying to say to you that the argument that you're presenting here, that the government's hands are tied, cannot be a reasonable argument for any government in office.
Mr. Ellis, there's a cost. You remember that the last government sent home three executive officers from the 3H? You remember that?
But they just have to follow the right process, Arthur. Like everybody else, that is what is required. Follow the right process. You see all the stumbling blocks, but you don't see any opportunities for change. How on earth the country is going to survive if you don't recognize that you got to fix those very weaknesses? And that's not applied to the government of the Democratic Labour Party. It is something that a Barbados Labour Party administration must talk to us about. Solutions Barbados, who say they want to run for office, must do it. The UPP must do it. BIM must do it. This is a most important issue because we all feel as though Barbados is slipping and sliding because there's a severe shortfall in that particular area. Thank you all for being part of today's edition of Down to Brass Tacks on Sunday. Brass Tacks Sunday, Corey Lane is in. The economy is what we're going to be talking about. He has a broad-based panel. And then on Monday, some people are coming to talk about the water quality here in Barbados. Barbados Water Authority and people from the ministry are supposed to be here on Monday as well. So you got a lot to look forward to right here on Down to Brass Tacks. I'm David Ellis. Thanks. And thank you also on behalf of Dennis Johnson, my technical operator and producer.